All right, thank you for being here today. Sorry we're getting started a little bit later than usual. We apologize, but thank you for being patient. As we begin, is there someone who would come forward, come up to the mic, and offer our invocation for our time here today, would pray over us today? Is there someone who would do that? Thank you, Sheriff. Sheriff, would you also lead us in the pledges? So I'll stand together if you would. Gentlemen, remove your covers if you would. Thank you.
If you'll bow your head and go to the Lord in prayer with me. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to call all to come together in this wonderful free country that we call home. Thank you for the elections that have put good men and women in places to lead us. Lord, thank you for this court, and may their decisions be pleasing to you today. Lord, I thank you for our military who fight abroad to keep those freedoms secure. And Lord, I pray for all the public safety officials who work here domestically day in and day out to support our community and keep it the great place that it is. Lord, I ask all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now the Texas flag. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. We have a motion to approve the court agenda today.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. At this time, we have opportunity for our citizens to make comment on an item that's on the consent agenda or on the open agenda. If you do have a comment, we ask that as you come to the microphone, you would identify yourself, identify the item on the agenda that you'll be addressing, with the understanding that we offer 3 minutes for you to be able to do that. Commissioner Nowak will be doing the timing on that. If you have something that you would like to bring to the dais, if you would ask permission before you come forward. Is there anyone who would like to make comments today? All right. Thank you. Let's move forward. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Item number 8, Employee of the Month.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Tracy Hutchison. I'm the Chairman for the Employees Committee, and today we are here to present 2 awards, one for November and December, and the winners today will receive a plaque and a $25 gift certificate to Joe's Italian. At this time, can I please have Kay Lee with our Veterans Service Department come up to present our November Employee of the Month for us today.
Good morning. I know it's been a long time since I've seen all of y'all. I know everyone pretty much understands how important it is for an employee to have a good employee. For a small department, that's even more important. So I'm very happy to present to Kathy Smith the award for Employee of the Month. She's so dedicated to what she does. It's a pleasure to help our veterans, and she makes sure that every veteran knows that they are special to us and that we want them to get their benefits. And so she's just so dedicated and so dependable. I don't have to worry about if the office is being run. She does that for me without even thinking twice about it. So very, very glad to have her aboard. So. Okay, and now if I can have Michael Holbrook with our IT department to come up and present our December Employee of the Month for us today.
Good
morning. My name is Michael Holbrook, and I'm the Help Desk Manager for the IT Department. Last year, I proudly stood before you in recognition of Help Desk Technician Daniel Kennard for Employee of the Month, March 2021. Since then, Daniel was promoted to Help Desk Supervisor, and I am proud for the second time to acknowledge Mr. Kennard as Employee of the Month for December 2022. I'd like to take a moment and say thank you to Daniel for being such a reliable member of our team. Your outstanding work ethic and job performance are an inspiration to us all. I received nothing but positive reviews from all departments you continue to support, to include all county courts, district clerk, and the libraries, just to name a few. It's not only essential to work diligently as a help desk supervisor, but is likewise crucial to maintain the highest standards of customer service while doing so. And you, sir, have done both tremendously. Thank you for your positive attitude you bring to our team, and thank you for your service and support to the county. Please join me in a round of applause, recognition of Daniel Kennard.
What you ought to do is get a picture of them, have all of them stand up, get a picture right there. Stay right where you're at. Don't come forward. Stay right there. You guys take a picture right in front of them. No, no, you two guys stand over here in front of them and get a picture with you two, with the rest of them. There you go.
Got it.
Nice. Very good. Thank you, Tracy. It's a little bit of enthusiasm there, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's very good.
Wow. Now we've lost our entire audience.
Uh-huh.
We've lost our entire audience. That'll clear the room. Do an employee appreciation. There you go. All right. Thank you very much. Let's move on to item number 9, consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, you know, or are there any amendments that you'd like to make to it today, guys?
We need
I
to
have
defer.
One.
Yeah.
I have one.
Perfect.
That's page 5 of 9, 9M2A. If we could defer that item. Are there any others? All right, if there are none, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with the amendments?
Move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Let's move to our open agenda. It's page 7 of 9, which is the end of consent. The court will consider, discuss, and its discretion take action on the following items. First item is number 10. It's the county judge, consider, discuss, and approve the expenses related to the biannual swearing-in ceremony for elected officials and guests not to exceed $2,000. Please name a funding source, of which, if you could help us with that, we need a funding source, would be contingency or whatever.
Yeah, I would name contingency.
We have a motion to that effect.
Can we hear from the auditor on this particular issue and even the county attorney? It's one that I was in favor of putting on the agenda. However, I don't think that Rakesh is going to be in favor of paying it even if we pass it.
We had an extensive discussion. Judge and Commissioner, we had an extensive discussion during the agenda review as far as whether this item serves a public purpose.
Yes.
And we've done some research and consultation with the county attorney's office as well. I'm not 100% sure that it does serve a public purpose to be.
Have we ever paid for it this way?
No.
No.
No. Usually, what we do is we have solicited on company time, county time, on county telephones, campaign contributions to fund this particular item. That's what we've been doing, and everybody knows that we shouldn't be doing it that way. And we have to swear everybody in, which is a county function. Now, whether or not we should give them some niceties while they're there in this entire day. On January 1st, who does anything on January 1st? Somebody was mad at somebody when they came up with the swearing-in date of January 1. And so they're there, and all we're doing is we're wanting these resources so that they can have, whether it's cookies, whether it's whatever, and to be able to do it. Yes, Jason? Coffee and, yeah. So from that perspective, how does it not serve a county function?
Ultimately, it's going to be your call as to whether there's a public purpose of those funds. And I don't think it's clearly illegal, which is the question that we got asked. It's whether $2,000 is serving a public purpose for the newly elected officials as they come in. Other counties collect money. I think Williamson County, we've reached out to other counties to see how they do it. They do it very similarly. Whether that should be done from your office on county time, again, I think that's negligible. When we start talking about dollars, I think the auditor has an issue. We've never done it this way. But I don't think it's illegal, which was the question Jason asked me.
So who provides the Spectrum Catering or the county's caterer? So why couldn't we have them, you know, could they donate this to the county? Could we work into their contract?
So they've done that in the past. So, for instance, last time we did this, we some elected officials do not participate in the donation of $100.
I don't even.
We were short collections, so Spectrum had to eat the difference. They did that, and they you know, they weren't happy about it, but they made do with it. And this has become a hassle for, like the judges said, for our office having to collect and call an elected official, solicit $100 from their campaign to cover this expense. And, you know, it's on county time, and I felt that would be an ethics violation in itself. So I thought, what best to fix that, cure that problem?
Well, they charge too much for a darn cup of coffee.
I agree.
I totally agree. You know, everybody that's showing up at this lives in our county.
Correct.
These are county citizens.
Yeah.
We're talking about providing coffee.
The elected officials aren't enjoying the pastries and coffee. It's the 1,000 people in the audience.
That's right. And why is it so to quibble of whether or not that's how is it not a county function? It would be not a county function if we said no. I mean, to me, let's take care of the people who are coming to see this and participate with all these elected officials who have done what they're supposed to do. It's not like we're breaking the bank here. Is there any public benefit to the employees getting $7,000 a year in pins? But we do that. I believe there is.
Yeah, so the employee committee is specifically authorized under statute. This is a little bit different. This lies solely on your plates. Should we use $2,000 of public funds for the swearing-in ceremony?
Based on our research, there's several counties that have a non-travel meals policy, and it covers this. Shall it not exceed a certain dollar amount per person in participation? I'd be glad to draft a policy and bring it back to court for future use and look at for things like this to occur.
And sometimes they do like an overall arching because you use the facility. Here's the cost of the facilities and any food and entertainment. And they kind of, clump it all together and bring that before the court. This is a departure from our standard practice, which is why it's on open.
Do we pay for the facility?
It's donated. Since it's convention
donated center. To who?
It's the convention center, so space is donated to us.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not having to pay a permit fee or something.
But that's no different than me trying to have a fundraiser at my community building and have it donated to me. I can't do that.
No.
What's the difference?
Commissioner, if the court passes it and if we have a written policy that the court blesses, then we can use the policy.
Well, I'd make a motion that we pass this with a written policy clarifying it or delineating what specifics are to it.
I have policy before the 13th court.
Well, then let's wait till the December 13th to do it.
I would prefer knowing that I'm going to have this covered so I don't have to spend the next 2 weeks soliciting money that I don't need to spend.
I understand, but I also want the county attorney to either say they bless it or they don't.
We sometimes pass things contingent of a policy.
It's not illegal.
Not illegal is a very weak line. I mean, I don't really want to go there.
With all due respect, we go there all the time.
I don't.
Whether it's ARPA money? No. Come on. You'd be intellectually
honest. I don't think
that's... Everybody would be intellectually honest. We're quibbling over $2,000 for the people who are elected to these positions. There's a motion on the table. Do we have a second? If there's not a second, then there's not a second.
I would be glad to have the policy back, Judge and Commissioners, but we do pass things sometimes contingent of a policy coming back, and it would give my staff the ability to not have to worry about soliciting funds for the next 2 weeks when I'll need them, because that bill will be coming due before the event.
I think you just don't solicit funds, and there's no coffee in. Who cares? I mean, if
you
want
to go to
bring
it,
your own. I'm just saying, if that's bring your own cup. I don't know. I mean, I hate to go against the county attorney, and I don't hate to go against you, but if not typically
I don't want to say that this is illegal. I want to be really clear. I don't think that it's illegal. And then it's a judgment call for this court as to whether or not you think it's the public purpose is appropriate.
You're collecting money, excuse me, from every elected official.
We attempt to collect money from every official who's participating in the swearing-in ceremony.
Not every
official participates.
Sure.
So they will say, I'll be there, but I'm not giving you $100. And so then we have a deficit on the bill that we then have to negotiate with the facility. One year we had elected officials write checks larger than $100 to cover the deficit. And all that's done while my staff's having to talk to candidates and officials about campaign funds while on county time. I have a fundamental ethical problem with it. That's why I brought this item.
Well, we do a lot of things on county phones. I mean,
Right. Trying
to do different things, business, if you will. I'll give $500. So if we're going to make it, so, I mean, I hate to see it being a big issue.
I'll
gum it for.
Okay, so commissioner, so we can amend the motion that instead of the $2,000, since the commissioner's doing $500, it'll be $1,500.
I'll do $500 out of my personal, not campaigns, not just the James Metz fund.
So now we have $1,000. Do we hear any more?
So now we're having an auction up here.
I think
we wait to get the policy written and we vote on it, is what I think we ought to do.
I'll be glad to do that.
All right, I rescind my motion, and we'll defer. We'll table this until our next commissioner's court. Agreed?
Perfect. My good. $500 stands if we don't get this lined out.
We know. Very good.
Lined out, I'm going to rescind my $500.
All right, back to emergency management. Jason?
This one's not illegal either. Item 11A, consider, discuss, and approve the creation and submission of application of the 22 FMA Flood Mitigation Assistance Program for project scoping. This grant's up to $900,000 with a 25% cost share. Authorize myself to sign as the authorized official. There's no cost to submit the draft. The deadline to submit this is day after tomorrow. This is for a precinct force project scoping that we're doing in that precinct, and the incoming commissioners agreed to cover the cost share.
So the 25% comes out of the precinct four.
Correct.
Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Linda, you have a question?
Where's the 25% coming from, Commissioner Metz? It's out of your, is it a road bond project?
It's going to be, if awarded, when we get the grant awarded, it'll be a decision that Commissioner Gray will have to make.
Okay, so just know right now that there is not, the 25% is not in Commissioner Metz's budget. Once the new upcoming commissioner will take place, then the funds will be available. Remember, we took 75% of the budget out. So just want to make sure everybody's understood.
It'll be in there out of carryover now. He won't even have to affect his budget that he'll have now. There's enough in.
Yeah.
It'll be under
sure
his control, but he'll be.
And Jason, you talked to the Commissioner Gray about this as well.
Actually, Commissioner Gray is the one that's requested, and he can speak to himself. He's the one that requested this grant. He identified it.
I just want to make
and
sure
brought it to our
knew
attention,
that
so.
It was done with his consultation.
Commissioner-elect Gray?
Yeah, thank you guys for your vote. When it goes through, we're still waiting on the price, everything else. They're quoting it out and probably have to go through an RFQ process, but getting this submitted by December 1st was imperative for the timing. So, and then we'll deal with the 25% when it comes through. And like Commissioner Metz said, the money will be in there probably from the from the carryover, and only have to come out of budget. So, it works. Thank y'all. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
It'll work.
Thank you. Office of Court Administration. Item number 12A.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much for having us here with you this morning. The big hot topic that we have for you is talking about interpreters. But before we get into that, Judge Stewart and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, each of you. We've had a rather tumultuous last several months with the Office of Court Administration, and Judge Stewart and I got the unenviable task of becoming its co-directors, which we have so enjoyed, but only have 15 more days to have to do this. Only 15 more days to get to do this. But in going to that office, we did a deep dive. We got down in the weeds. We got our hands dirty. We figured out some of the better practices to run that office, some ways to save the taxpayers money. We've eliminated some positions. We've eliminated the ability to collect overtime on the weekends and have changed the manner which we do that. But the more fundamental changes that we needed was to get rid of some of the management positions so that we would have more workers, and you were essential to that. Amanda Carter has been a great resource for us to be able to work within the budget that you approved for this office to make some changes that are better for this county, particularly with the vote that you took last week. That was a game changer, and I want you to understand how grateful we are to you for it. When our director left, we had four jail liaisons. These are three women with bachelor's degrees, one with an associate degree, and are seriously overworked. We were working two of them each weekend. They were the overtime collectors. We've now cut that back to one on a weekend, no overtime, which gives them more time for family. But what they do is a constitutional function that is required in this county, and they literally interview every single one of the thousands of people who comes through the Montgomery County Jail. It is no mean feat, and four was too few. We needed to add two more, and you have put us in a position where we have that now. We picked up one more bachelor's degree, one more associate's degree, and a lot more help. We feel that this has been an improvement of a magnitude that you may not have realized, but we wanted you to know. So I want to thank each of you. Thank you, Commissioner Metz. Thank you, Commissioner Nowak. Thank you, Judge Keough. Thank you, Commissioner Riley. And thank you, Commissioner Walker. Our judiciary in Montgomery County is outstanding, but it wouldn't be so without your help and support along the way, and you have always given us an audience, and for that we are very grateful. So I thank you.
Thank you.
Now to you.
All right. Well, what we were originally...
Please speak into the microphone, if you would, please.
What we were originally going to be asking for today was to elevate the salary for the vacant court interpreter positions, and we are going in a different direction now. So we heard at least from one or two of you, maybe more last time, that you're more interested in contract and... Like I said, at that time, we had that working pretty well before. We had not gotten any resumes in now 6 weeks for the posted positions. So what we are asking today is, and if I could approach, I have some copies for y'all.
If you would, please. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, sir.
What I just handed y'all are fee vouchers that I had a certified master court interpreter give me from Harris County. Then you can see they're fairly recent, showing what they were actually paid for work done in Harris County. Now, Judge Bays and I met with several contract interpreters last week, along with two other members of our staff and Ms. Little, to try to figure out what it's going to take to get them back working for us. As I mentioned to you, my court coordinator was serving that function for the last couple of weeks, maybe month, on behalf of OCA to try to fill the as-needed court interpreters, and was just getting crickets chirping. I mean, we had days where we could find no one. Every person she emailed was not available. And I, you know, I never really got the exact answer as to why that was happening, but Our meeting,
speak into the mic, Judge.
Sorry. Our meeting with them, I think, was fruitful last week, and I feel like we have a group that are willing to work. So what we're asking is that we make our rate mirror that in Harris County. And I will say that, and Judge Bays can confirm, at least what we were told, the ladies who we were meeting with are all interpreting all over the place. They mentioned Washington County, Houston County up in Crockett, Walker County, and all of those places, they're basically submitting a voucher with their rate on it, and they're getting paid. So they don't have a stated fee. Is that what you understood?
That's what I understood.
And the numbers that they're getting paid in all those rural counties are higher than anything we're asking for, anything that we're currently paying. But obviously, I think we've got to pay more to get them here.
Well, the question is, as I look at these two items, what are we willing to pay them? We want to pay them $65 an hour, $55 an hour, because there's a difference between the two.
Right, $65 if it's a trial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the interpreters are adamant, and this is in the that they need two. So when there's a jury trial. They have to be able to rotate in and out. And that's
so it needs to be two at a jury trial. Yes,
that's right. I mean, wish I had one here to explain the need
for
that. And then
for a hearing, it's different.
Yeah, and the hearing rate is basically non-trial rate. So it would basically, right.
Yeah, it's 55 an hour. It's 6 and 330 is 55 an hour on the hearing. 9 and 585 is 65 an hour on the trial.
Right. And we do want to keep kind of the half-day structure that we have in place right now, which is somebody's not going to drive up here to work for 1 hour. They're going to get a half-day fee.
So they either get a half-day or they get a full day.
Right. Well, I think...
Or a half-day plus the hours they work.
That's what I understand.
Because you're in the hearing.
It's not... Yeah, we're not paying a half-day... Sorry for interrupting. Not half-day blocks, but a minimum of a half-day if they come up.
Right.
Which would be...
And then it's hourly after that.
That's right.
That makes
and so
sense.
What we're going to do is not ask to raise... We were originally going to ask to raise those salaries $20,000 each from 75 to 95, but we're not asking for that.
Right.
We're just going to leave them where they are and see if we can make this work with contracts. Then, I mean, we haven't gotten a resume. So.
How many salary court interpreters are there now?
One.
Okay, perfect.
And she is definitely... I mean, we've got a place for her to go
having
constantly.
One on,
right.
It's not a bad idea. That way somebody is here. And from what I gather... This hourly rate structure is what the interpreters want. Most of them are not looking for full-time employment.
I think
they want
right.
to be able to go from gig to gig, so to speak. The one thing that we had a problem with in the past, from what I understand, is interpreters maybe. Is someone going to be monitoring their activity to make certain if they're in your courtroom and then they're in your courtroom, that there's not two separate values?
Well, right. Once they show up for the morning, I mean, if they, you know, if they're on contract for Montgomery County Judiciary, they might go to my court, to her court, and to two other misdemeanor courts.
Is that a function of the OCA or is that a function of the judge?
Which part?
Both.
How to keep track of their hours and what they're doing.
It's going to be, OCA is going to be at the end of the day, right? So the V-vouchers are going to go through OCA. As it is right now, they go through OCA.
But, right.
Right.
I think it's great. I mean, obviously.
I do, too.
I brought it back last week. I thought it was a good idea. If we can break this into two motions, though, because I do the jail liaison pay that we didn't really talk about yet. And last week when that was adopted, I did not fully understand that we were going to be giving a raise of $5 an hour, 25% basically, for these jail liaisons, especially coming right out of the budget process. It wasn't really clearly stated or articulated during the conversation that we had, nor in the materials, even though that was clearly the intent.
That is on the agenda here to cover?
Well, it's already on the agenda now. That's what we're discussing.
That's what I'm saying.
It says jail liaisons.
Oh, no, this is up here in item 12A is what they're called, the Office of Court Administration. It is functionally.
What they're proposing
is
going to clear
but
that.
They're proposing for Justin court interpreters.
That's right.
At 55 and 65 an hour, depending on whether it's a trial.
The minimum.
Or whether it's a hearing.
And I'm just saying that it's on here, too. Both, it just says, consider, discuss, take appropriate action on positions and salaries for court interpreters and jail liaisons.
Yeah, so let's do the court interpreters first.
That's what I said. Let's break it into two.
Oh, yeah. That's all I'm asking for right now.
Well, exactly.
Okay, then Part A and Part B. Part B is on page 8 of 9, if you will, and Part A is on page 7 of 9. That's all I'm saying. Okay? So, with that in mind, I'll make a motion that we put this in place. Is there a second?
Yes, I say second.
So it's 65 for trial, 55 for hearing, minimum half day.
I just have a point of clarification. Are we keeping the right now they have three in-house interpreter positions open. Are we keeping those open?
That's what's going to fund this, those three open positions. So close those and use that as funding.
Because we're moving the contract.
I just want to make sure that that's everyone's intent.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
No, actually.
Yes, I did.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
And then if you'll allow me to finish
All right, let's
on
move
12A,
forward.
Just on the court, the jail liaisons, we've already approved the raises twice now.
For the record, that's item number 16 under Commissioner's Precinct 3.
Well, it's...
Page 8 of 9.
I think it's 12A, but anyway, my comment was just that it was not... I was not ready or prepared to give those raises. They've already been granted. I would vote against it if we were redoing it today, but it looks like the court, we've approved it, so if y'all want to let it stand, it stands. But I just think it's, I wish we'd have been more clear. And in the future, I think when we give raises to employees, it should be stated that raises are going to occur. And if we're going to open and close positions, we need to more clearly state we're closing this position, opening this position, resulting in X, Y, or Z.
Understandable.
I'm good for letting it stand. We already approved it last week. You good?
Y'all are good.
All right.
All right, so when we come to 16A, I'm just going to defer.
Perfect.
All right, very good.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you all very much. We appreciate you coming.
Thanks, guys.
And sharing that with us. That's a good move. Excellent move. Appreciate it. All right, tax assessor collector, Tammy.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 13A, consider and take appropriate action regarding the declaration of final default of tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Alight Solutions, LLC, and the Woodlands Land Development Company. I was before you 30 days ago, and we notified them of their default. They had 30 days to cure that default, and they have not cured. So we are here for a final default and recapture of taxes.
Move, and can you state the recapture amount, please?
Yes, the recapture amount, if it's paid within 30 days, is $289,816.64.
I'll second.
I go to precinct 4.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Trying to help you out, Matt.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you,
Tammy. Appreciate it so much. All right, at this time we're going to recess the Commissioner's Court to convene public hearings. Number 14, public hearing, precinct number 1.
Consider the partial replat of Phase 1 Blue Jack National and partial replat of Reserve W Blue Jack National, Phase 1A, partial replat number 1, for a partial replat of Blue Jack National, Phase 1B, replat number 1, to be known as Blue Jack National, Phase 1B, partial replat number 4. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to reconfigure lots 7 through 12, 15 through 17, block 2 of Phase 1B, and lots 1, 2, block 1 of Phase 1B, replat number 1. We haven't received any telephone calls. We've received a letter of no objection from the HOA, but the plat is not ready. But is anybody here to speak about that? Okay, precinct 2. Consider the partial replat of a portion of lot 19 and all of lot 20, High Meadow Ranch, section 1, to be known as High Meadow Ranch, section 1, replat number 2. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to reconfigure a portion of lot 19 and all of lot 20 into one lot. This item is under 15A below. We've received a letter of no objection from the HOA, but is anybody here to speak about it?
All right.
Precinct 4. Consider the partial replat of Lot 19 of Fostoria Oaks Section 2 to be known as Fostoria Oaks Section 2 replat Lot 19. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to subdivide into two lots. The HOA has not been found, but the plat is not ready. Is anybody here to speak about that? Consider the partial replats of lots 13 and 14 Splendora Estates, Section 1, to be known as Splendora Estates, partial replat number 3. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to subdivide into 2 lots, into 10 lots. The HOA has not been found. This item is ready for approval under item 15B below. Is anybody here to speak about it? And finally, consider the partial replat of Marie Village subdivision to be known as Marie Village Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to reconfigure Opal Stoneway and Emerald Stoneway from cul-de-sacs to stub-out streets and to subdivide 10 lots and restrict a reserve seat into 19 lots. No HOA has been found. The plat is not ready, but today is the public hearing if anybody is here to speak about that. Okay.
All right, we'll go ahead and reconvene. And next item is item number 15, which will take action on the High Meadow Ranch and Splendora Estates replats.
Move.
Can we do both of these at the same? Yes, we have a motion to do both.
I move.
Is there a second?
Well, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you very much. Let's move on. Commissioners, under Precinct 3, we have deferred that item. At this point, we're going to go to executive session. Let the record reflect that the Commissioner Nowak is not here with us. And as we go into executive session, for executive pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. We're going to recess for a few moments and we shall return. Reconvene. Amy, if you would read the action that we're going to take on the particular item.
Yes.
Let the record reflect that Commissioner Riley had to leave as well.
Yes. So
we do have a quorum.
Yes,
go ahead.
Is there a motion that allows us, authorizes the county attorney's office to take any and all action for claims for enforcement of floodplain violations and any other actions that we see fit against Navarro? A. Navarro, and subject to the September 13th or September 2022 resolution.
I move.
We have a motion. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. At this time, that brings us to the end of our Commissioner's Court. Without further ado, though, are there any citizens I'd like to make any comments about any particular item? If there are none, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Thank you all very much. We are adjourned. See you Thursday. That's right.